Hey, y'all. Welcome to Co-Parenting Past Chaos, a podcast that gives you a raw and unfiltered insight on marriage, divorce, the crazy adventures of co-parenting, and so much more with your hosts, April and Lauren. Not only are we best friends, we are also the wife and former wife of the same man. Join us each week as we take you on a journey inside our wild and chaotic lives and show you how we were able to forge and maintain a positive co-parenting relationship while collectively parenting a lot of kids with a few husbands. We're definitely not professionals and we'll probably get you into more trouble than you bargained for, but what we do have is a sense of humor, street smarts, and a few decades of experience under our wife, mom, and divorcee belt. This ain't your mama's podcast. Welcome to episode 133 of Co-Parenting Past Chaos. Well, folks, here we are. Last week, do you remember me asking you, how's this year so far? And you're like, oh my God, it's really going great. I'm going to ask you that one more time. How's it going?
It's going. I would take the great part out of it. It's been a colorful week.
It's like hit after hit. And there are so many things that we have to be thankful for always. A lot of times, you know, we let the negative overshadow the positive. But this week, particularly, I've repeated that mantra. It's a bad day, not a bad life. And I'm determined that I'm going to believe it.
I'm hoping to. I always say when there's always a calm before the storm. And I think we had a little bit of a calm. And now it's like, nope, here's your storm. Yeah.
It's back. Back for sure. This week has been a shit storm.
Oh, for sure.
So my mom had COVID, called to let us know. And then
my boyfriend had COVID.
Your boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, his daughter caught COVID. Her mom had COVID. His daughter caught COVID. The other daughter had a quarantine already. So we've already been separated. And then he got COVID. I don't know if I have it or not. I don't feel like I do. I feel fine. So somehow I've still managed to squeak by.
We talked about this, you and I, this week. I just thought COVID was not going to be a thing for this long. You know, like it was just going to kind of blow over.
I mean, seriously, it's almost like we're trying to prolong it on purpose. Yeah. And I don't know why. Do we just like the hysterics and the drama of it? Because I'm quite frankly just over it all.
It's like we don't have anything better to do in the world. Can't we just like solve world hunger or something?
Yeah. Well, we tried solving COVID and look how that turned out for us. So.
I think we're going about it the wrong way, but that's my opinion now. I want to get.
Oh, that's. I completely agree. I do agree. So anyway, so if you're listening to this podcast, we are remote recording from our home.
We haven't done this in a long, long time.
I think the last time we did this, I was traveling to Atlanta for something. I think it was a Thanksgiving. This was like almost 2 years ago then.
Yes.
Wow. It was. It's been a hot minute.
Well, hopefully this is done soon, but on to happier times. We had one of our children announce this week that they're expecting.
Yay.
So we're going to be lovies again. And in just a few short months, we've gone from one grandchild to three.
Isn't that crazy?
It's just, they keep growing and growing. Like, what are we going to do?
My mom always loved having so many kids because she was like, I'm going to have so many grandbabies. And like, she does. So like, it just keeps expanding.
Yeah, I'm excited though. And we love Ty. So watching him get to be a big brother, I'm ready.
And a cousin. Oh, it's going to be so exciting.
It is. And I think it's so neat that the girls are pregnant at the same time.
I know. I wish that my sister and I had been able to do that. Were you ever pregnant at the same time with your sister?
No. So I'm really envious because I wish my sister and I could have too.
It would have been super cool.
Yeah.
We could have been pregnant together.
No, we're spay and neutered. It would have been neat though for you and I to be pregnant at the same
time. Wouldn't it have been fun?
Close best friends and to be pregnant together, that would just be maybe we could get puppies together or something.
We can do that. Yeah, our eggs are dinosaurs at this point, so we can't actually create life anymore, but we can.
My eggs are rotten.
I don't know if I make them anymore.
All right, last week we talked about running from the past. Dear God, I wish so much right now. But this week we're going to talk about a woman's intuition.
I love this. I love this topic.
I know. I thought this is going to make her day.
It is.
First, before we get really into that, I think this is important to talk about. First impressions. What do you base your first impression on?
Of a person?
Yes.
I don't go off of the exterior. I've been fooled one too many times with that. I think it's the way in which someone listens when I talk. I really pay attention to someone's listening or if they're even listening at all. Tell me a lot about the person and how they speak about other people in their lives. that's also another thing I really kind of hone in on. So I guess those would be my first impressions.
I think for me, it's body language. Mm. I can pick up, and maybe what you said as well with how they speak, that to me shows a lot about the person and how they appear. Do they appear to be a nice person and a kind person based on what they talk about, how they respond, and how they speak about others?
Yeah.
I mean, I think to some extent, physical appearance makes a strong first impression, because I've been guilty of this in the past. And now that I'm a much more open-minded person, I don't do this. But sometimes you can look at a person and the way they carry themselves, it's not about what they look like or what they're wearing. It's how they carry themselves.
Yeah.
What I mean in a physical appearance. Yeah. Do you think that you're normally right or wrong when you judge someone based off of a first impression?
I think I've perfected it over the years. So now I'm pretty accurate on being able to read someone and their energy pretty much right out the gate. I've been surprised very little. I'm usually pretty accurate. My intuition is, I've evolved it and I've really tried to lean into it the older I've gotten, especially at this phase in life with all of the tools I feel like I've been given and the experiences. So I think I'm pretty accurate. I can pretty much read a person. I know that's one of the funny things. Heather, she'll always ask me, especially if we're out and it's someone she wants to go on a date with. I'm like, no, let me meet them first, because I can tell someone. I can read them really well, whether their intentions are good or whether they're putting on a front or they're presenting you with their ego instead of, you know, maybe their true soul. So I'm pretty good with it now.
I'll give myself 50-50. And that's being generous, because I want so badly to see the good in everybody. And that sometimes will cloud my judgment of a person. I tend to be more accurate with women than I am men.
Mm.
When you're doing first impressions, I think there are two ways. When it's for yourself, like if you're looking at a person to become your friend or your mate, you judge them one way as opposed to if it's for somebody else.
Oh yeah.
Because I look at you, when I take your judgment of a first impression on somebody, you're normally right if it comes to me. But if it's for yourself, you've been wrong before. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Because I think we are wanting that person to be a certain way. So we're going in there with an expectation when it's for ourselves. So we're almost forcing ourselves to see things that probably aren't there, but we want them to be there. So you're like, oh, okay, he's kind of like this. So like, I'm going to keep going. And just really, you're more eager versus when you're going in there with for someone else, like for you or one of my friends or whatnot. I'm going in there with a protective aspect. So I'm very guarded and I'm like, one wrong move, I don't need you. So you just have to say the right things right now.
I'm the queen of convincing myself, oh, but they're so good. No.
You really are the worst at that.
I am. My mom, I'll look at her because she's always made me so mad. She does this. She can look at something and she'll call me. She's like, April, I don't like that person. You need to be careful. And she's been wrong plenty of times. But a lot of times, especially with the men, she's been so right. And then I look at her and I'm like, but you don't take your own advice. But she's really right to give it to other people.
It is easier to see something from like a third party view.
Yeah, I've just been wrong so many times. And if I'm being honest, some of my best, the longest lasting relationships have come from bad first impressions.
Hmm.
I thought it'd be fun for us to go through our list of exes, because, you know, we got a couple, maybe here a while, but just our first impressions of them. And you know how it panned out.
Oh, I love this idea. Okay. Oh, wow. Which ex should I start with?
Oh, God. You know what? You just pick.
I'll start with my first, like my very first husband. And he's really like my first real ex, honestly. My first impression of him was that he was very cocky, overly confident. And I really saw like an immaturity of him. Ironically enough, I was not wrong on any of these, because that is his personality, though. I mean, obviously, getting to know him, it softened and I understood why he was that way. But how he was, he definitely projected on the outside. My first impression of John, oh, I hated him. I did not like him. He was a walking red flag to me, honestly. And what annoyed me the most was that other women that I knew or that I worked with or that knew him would fawn over him. It's like he carried this air with him. and like this mystique about him, and women just loved it. And that to me was a red flag. So I hated him for a very like long time until I drank the poison. I drank it. I drank the Kool-Aid. And I think that was on me though. That had nothing to do with the impression. That was because I saw a challenge and you know me.
Oh, I'm always up for a good challenge.
Yeah.
Poor Jerry. I am really lucky that he puts up with me and he lets me tell all of the bad things that have happened in the past because he's grown from them and he's not the same person. But I think that he kind of owes me that because I've put up with him. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we're even. Since I met Jerry when I was 12, I don't know if I can even spell first impression, let alone be qualified enough to have one. But he was very charismatic and I was mesmerized by him. It's like he put a spell on my little preteen self and I didn't think he was a threat. Now, the more I got to know him, I knew we weren't good for each other, not as lovers, but we were already in too deep by then, so it didn't matter. With Roy, I knew he was trouble from the moment I met him, but it was like the good kind, you know? And I could see in him, he had such a pure heart, and it, I don't know, maybe like a bad boy exterior, and that's so attractive. Not much has changed.
No.
He's the gasoline to my fire, but somehow we managed to balance each other out, even now that we're not married, just as best friends.
Do you want to know my first impression of Roy?
Please, yes.
My first impression of Roy, the first time I really, like, I know we had met that night, fireworks happened, but I don't really remember having an interaction with him, so I don't like to say that that was my first impression. My first impression is when I got his mail one day, and he was outside washing his truck. So I walked over and I said, you know, this is your mail. And he goes, oh, we've got some talking to do. And this was referring to the situation of you and John at that time. And I just remember speaking to him and he was very kind. I was actually kind of surprised by how mature he was when he talked to me. But I also thought he was a very dated person. Like maybe he had not come into the 21st century just yet. And so I almost felt like a little bit bad for him. I was like, oh, this sweet, like older man, like, oh, bless him. That's what I thought.
The sweet older man. You know what's funny that you say that? And when I first met John, I thought he was younger than me just by the way he acted and because he had very young kids. I just assumed.
Yeah. What was your first impression though? Like,
oh, Johnny boy. I think I was a little intimidated at first, like when we actually conversed. There was some innocence about him, and he really seemed to be like a genuine and kind person with a good heart, an old soul. And then the more I got to know him, still in the same time, so it still falls into that first impression, mm-hmm. It almost felt like he was very mysterious.
Yeah, that's same. Yeah.
So
I don't know what it is. I think it's in the eyes. There's just something there. And obviously first impressions change over time. And so then you kind of look back and you have something to think, oh, you know, maybe I should have paid attention to that a little bit more.
Yeah, you talk about red flags a lot, and I'm like, I look back on Jerry, and I'm like, oh, yeah, a lot of red flags. Roy didn't really have a lot of red flags other than, you know, he was a bad boy, per se, and he was wild and crazy, and that wasn't really my style back then. So I guess that could be considered a red flag. But his sensitivity, there's a red flag. It's hard being with a real sensitive person, you know?
It is. Yeah. Yeah, I can relate. I can definitely relate. Oh, my first impression of Jake was hilarious. I was like, oh,
bless. You're not like the men you're with at first.
I never have. He showed up and I was like, ooh, this is not what I thought. Just a different style. I've never, like, he's not someone I typically would have dated. Not that I really have a type, but like, I think just at that time in my life was very different. And he was actually one of the first like active duty military members that I had really dated in a long time. So that was a red flag.
Do you think now, does it make sense when you look back on why you're not with those people anymore that maybe didn't give off a very good first impression?
100%. Yes. But I don't think at that time, like, let's just say John, for example, because that's like the longest one I have. My first impressions after that, I was much older. So I think I was more in tune with my own intuition. But at 21 years old, I didn't know what a red flag was. I didn't have enough experience. I just thought it was like different and exciting and like had an edgy vibe to it. So I ran towards it instead of letting it be a signal of like, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is really, really wrong. You know, it was an exciting factor because it was so different. And even if I had all these bells and whistles going off of my intuition, I didn't know what intuition was. I didn't listen to her. I did my own thing.
One thing comes to mind right now, and that's if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true.
Yes. And also, if you have an out, if you have a, you know, like a clear signal that you need to get out, take it. Don't run back to it when it apologizes to you.
Yeah, that's on the second chances. So that's the next episode. Well, let's change lanes. And you just brought it up. Women's intuition. You know, I like to research the topics that we're going to talk about, even if it has to do with our own personal experiences, just to see what's out there in the world. And when I read this, I was like, oh, this is going to be something that Lauren is just really, really into, because women's intuition dates back hundreds of years. Women at one time, and I think some people still feel this way, and that's why we don't talk to those people, but they think that women are meant to be seen and not heard. So science says that women's intuition is due in large part to evolution. Like, we've learned, because we've had to keep our mouth shut and our voices haven't been heard, we learn to pay attention to other things. And that's our intuition.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it fascinated me. It's also said that since women are theoretically, and I'm not trying to bash the men, but we're better at expressing our emotions. That gives us a leg up on people, because if we're better at expressing them, then we're better at sensing them. We're good at sensing those intuitive thoughts and feelings because we're emotional creatures. It makes sense that we'd be more open to receiving emotional directives from people.
Yeah. And I think that when you are become a mother, I think your intuition is heightened because you're already in a situation where you have to sense another human being's emotions in order to keep them alive. So then you're practicing this intuition on a daily basis for the majority of that child's life. And if you have multiple children, it's really getting a lot of practice. And so you're just kind of expanding this intuition to where, like, oh my goodness, I can pick up things all over the place. What else can I tap into now?
Absolutely. People don't understand that, but it's so true. You brought up the best point is being a mom. I mean, I was a mom at 14 and you don't know anything about being a mom. But your intuition kicks in and you know that above everything else, you just need to keep this thing alive. That's it. And we do it.
Mm-hmm. And you have to sense them. You have to, you know when they're hungry. You're reading someone else's mind without really the tools to know what that is. But that's intuition. When to feed your baby, when to change your baby, when, you know, your toddler talks back, or, you know, like little things you start to just sense because they're essentially an extension of you. So you are practicing mind reading and emotion reading and energy reading. And it's hard not to then start using that on all the people around you. And then I think we do sense the red flags more apparently. And then we're like, oh, okay, this is intuition now.
And I have just gotten into this in the last couple of years because growing up, and we talked a little bit about this last week about society and the effect that our cultures have on us. I grew up in a very religious background, and that stuff was, you know, it was mystical and you shouldn't think about that, but it's not really. It's your body, and your body and your mind tell you so many things about yourself and the world around you. So is it real? Heck yeah. Women's intuition is real. And it's just as powerful as people say it is.
Oh, absolutely. I'm, like you just said, we grew up with very religious backgrounds. I've deconstructed my faith as I've gotten older. I'm actually in a development circle right now, and it's run by one of my really good friends, and she is a medium. And I know some people don't believe that. I find it all just fascinating, and I love to research all types of things. So I'm enjoying learning from people that is their practice. And she has had this intuition or this empathy and decided to just lean into it. And that's how she describes it, is we all have this innate intuition. It's just leaning into it, lean into it a little bit more. And that's how she's able to, you know, in her line of work, speak to spirits or have spirits come through for things. And that's what she believes in. And I'm finding it absolutely fascinating, because in a sense, it's very comforting to know that you have a safe space for your intuition to actually grow if you want it to. Or we can stifle it. We don't have to believe in it. But I am choosing to kind of lean into it and really expand it. It's fascinating.
It does. And that's what I was going to say. It fascinates me so much what our bodies and minds can do if we really hone in on it. Mm-hmm. And I have recently. And it makes me think, if you would have asked me this 10 years ago, my answer wouldn't be the same as it is today. But over the years, I've just developed such a deeper relationship with myself. And it's one that continues to grow daily. That being said, a woman's intuition is just so much more powerful than you think. And it's taking that small amount that you have and using it, growing it into something that you can use in so many other areas of your life.
Yes. I mean, case in point, psychology majors, you know, a lot of times they're very intuitive people that want to learn other people, feel their energy, make safe space for their energy, and hold that. I'm a very analytical person. I find the human brain absolutely fascinating, but I find it, it's not just the brain. It is like our emotions, our ties to our energies and our bodies and everything. It's all built in, and you can stifle it. You can ignore it. You can, you know, think that, oh, I'll just stay quiet. You know, I'm not going to speak up. Like we just said, we've been told not, you know, be seen and not heard. Or you can totally lean into it, and it can open up so many broad doors for you. And that's what I'm hoping to do.
Me too. I'm a firm believer in my intuition. Often I have a huge problem listening to my intuition, because sometimes you just want things to be how you want them to be. And it's really funny how that works. I know the answers. I can predict the outcome, but I'm so competitive that it almost turns into a game for me. And if I think I can somehow prove myself wrong, I will obsess over it with myself. Should I listen to you? Should I listen to my intuition? Always go with the intuition.
Always go with the intuition. And it's about finding the intuition. And finding it is not listening to the ego. And the ego is the part that is telling us sometimes, I want to hear this, or I'm going to make myself think this, or I'm going to stifle this. That's our ego. When you push her away, you've got soul and you've got spirit. Your soul is the one that is the childlike one, the deep part of you. That's the where the intuition grows. And then your spirit is there to help you, like, obviously elevate that and really listen and nurtures that and makes that safe for that soul to really grow. But our ego, she gets us every time.
She's a bitch.
She is. I hate her. She has done me dirty.
But then you've got your heart, and especially if you're a romantic, you want to listen to your heart because you want to believe all these things when your intuition is saying, honey, child, listen up. Always listen to the intuition. Don't go into anything with just your heart. I mean, I know that that's probably cynical to say, but it's so true. You got to really lay out all the cards and think about everything.
You do. And if you go into it wanting to lean into your heart and listen to that, not pick up on all the other things, then you need to be aware that there could be other things down the line when you make that one choice to go with just that one aspect, just the heart. I'm just going to listen to you. Okay. Well, then I better also be prepared for X, Y, and Z that could happen. But we never are.
No, we never are. If you would have listened to your intuition, would you be where you are today?
No, I would not.
I'm going to say absolutely not for me.
Yeah. Had I known what it was and had I paid attention, but my ego was way too big. My ego was massive for a very long time.
When you just said it, had you known what it was, I remember having such a strong intuition about things when I was younger, but I had no idea. I wish I would have had someone to explain to me what that was, because it would physically do something to me. My intuition would. Do you think you would have had some of the same relationships that you did?
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. And you know, my mom did at different points in my life. I remember her telling me, you're a very intuitive child. You're very intuitive, Lauren. And I didn't know what that meant. And I don't also think that she knew how to cultivate that for me. She could tell it to me, but I don't think she knew how to teach me how to use it in the right ways. So to me, I was just like, oh, okay, so I'm just always going to feel like this. I'm just always going to be able to pick up all these things on people and read all this stuff. That's cool. So my ego would get in the way and just shut all that down. And I'd still just do whatever I wanted because I'm a rebel. I always will go against the grain and do what I'm exactly what I was told not to do.
How's that working out for you?
Not great.
Never going to learn. Never going to learn.
I would like to learn the hard way.
I'll tell you that with Jerry, no, because I knew every time he was cheating. My intuition was so powerful at that time in my life that it would literally wake me up in the middle of the night from a dead sleep. And I'd be like, I know what he's doing. And I bet if I would have kept a log of all those times and he would have, and we compared them, I was right, spot on. With Roy, I could tell from the start that he was really a great man and he hadn't proved me wrong yet. So I think my intuition might have been right with him.
Oh, my intuition was right on Roy. I have no doubts. And I definitely put him, I think the older I got, when I learned to use my intuition more and lean into it, I put people through tests. And that is also a flaw. But I will put them through tests because I, now that I know how to practice it, and read into it a little bit. I want to see if people are really as good as they're projecting themselves to be. So
do they know they're being tested? Just a surprise.
I think some people do now. I think they're catching on.
They figured you out. What I hope people would get out of this is that it is okay to listen to your gut, but trust your intuition. If it feels off, if something feels like, you know, this just isn't right, it's probably not. At the same time, I think we have to maintain balance. You can't just assume everything's bad. Some things are really worth taking a chance. But if it's black and white, if your intuition is saying, run, bitch, run, run.
I agree. I do agree. I mean, my intuition has been going off for a while on some things as well. But I'm not in, you know, it's not a safety thing. It's not like a, oh, this is a huge obstruction that you are about to like hit, like be careful. It's not caution flags. It is definitely more of a, okay, I'm going to listen to my intuition. I'm taking notes along the way and I'm taking the necessary steps in case I'm going to be right on this. I'm hoping I'm not because I'm taking that chance. I still want to be hopeful.
Right. You got to open your heart to new beginnings, but be intelligent and be very observant of the situation. But don't settle.
Don't settle. And also, sometimes you can pick up intuitions that are old and they're not even necessary presently. And that's hard as well, because then you have to sift through. Okay. All right. Is this just an old intuition that I need to let go of because it's, you know, almost trauma bonded itself to me? Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. That's trauma. Don't overthink it. Just trust yourself, because if you really get in tune with your intuition, 9 times out of 10, it'll put you on the right path. And that's the path that you should
be on. Yeah, I agree. I think if you listen to your intuition, listen to your gut, you can't have a regret. No regrets.
No regrets. Okay, y'all, get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Send us topics that you'd like us to discuss. And if you want to learn more about us and hear all of our stories from the beginning of this chaos, check out our website, pastchaos.com. Also, you can now stream the full season of You, Me, and My Ex on Discovery Plus. Now, my favorite. This is sick. I've become a new person. All day long, I think about, ooh, I'm going
to
hear.
I've been trying to think of like some juicy ones. I don't know if this one's juicy or not, but have you ever seen like the most attractive man, like just checks every box on paper, aesthetically, like personally, like just checks all these boxes, like would be a perfect fit. And then you like get intimate and it just somehow erases every single one of those. Have you ever had that happen?
Oh God, I may have to tell my story this time.
Well, yes, I have had that, and I am a glutton for punishment. Clearly, look at my life. So I did. I met this guy and he was so perfect in every single way. I mean, really checked every single box, except he was a redhead, which I don't really know if I'm into that, you know, but neither here nor there.
Okay.
But I remember being just very attracted to him and into this. And the first time he kissed me, I swear I would have enjoyed it more if had it been my brother. I mean, it was really just like, just shocking to me. I was like, there's that intuition, though. A connection like that, and then you listen to these little whistles going off like that. This is not good. This is not... Well, I end up sleeping with him, of course, because, you know, had to come back for round two, right? Just laying down and three or four pokey pokes, and that was it. And I was like, wow, had I listened to that first kiss intuition, what a letdown. What an entire letdown. I'm a firm believer that the kiss speaks volumes on how everything else will play out.
It is. It is. Isn't it true? If there's no spark when that kiss happens, there ain't going to be a spark.
And there was not.
The panties.
There was, in fact, none.
That's all the time we have for tonight. Thanks so much for listening and hanging out with us. If you'd like to find out more about the Kirks and our big blended family, visit our website at pastchaos.com. Make sure you don't miss out on any of this train wreck and chaos by hitting the subscribe button. If you really want to get personal, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Be sure to tune in every Sunday when we release new episodes. We would really appreciate it if you would subscribe to and review our podcast.
And just so y'all know, we love Jesus, but we cuss a little.